Are you in a constant fight with your technology? And does it seem like the technology is winning? Well, you've come to the right place. It's time for Battleborn Tech with your host, Christy.
Even though canaries light up tech phones every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Pacific, this is Battleborn Tech on KNVC FM 95.1 and streaming live and on demand at knvc.org. There is no vaccine approved for tech troubles. So stay in and call in 775-241-3571 anytime. Leave your name, tech challenge, and a good time to call you back from 775-241-3571.
That's us.
Hey, opinions on this show are from Christy and Joe. They are definitely not from Computer Core or KNVC. In fact, if you take a look at a Venn diagram between the two, it'll just be two circles.
Just like headlights coming at you quickly.
Exactly.
All righty. We've got another bunch of phone calls today. It's so sad, but so good to be hearing from all these people with tech troubles. It's sad that the troubles exist, but we're glad that we're here to help you solve them. So make sure to give us a call if you'd like us to walk you through some terminal tech trouble that you might be having. We got a phone call here. I'm going to open up the post-it note, and we're getting far too many post-it notes. This one is from Michelle, and she's got a question about the JPEG extension.
Go ahead, caller.
Hi, this is Michelle. And I have a question. I have a question for the technician there. I was transferring pictures from my older computer over to my newer one, and somehow I lost JPEG.
You lost JPEG. You mean the photos are at the new computer? Or do the photos show up? I mean, can you open the photos? Can you see them?
Yes, the photos got transferred.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So are you saying the JPEG photos didn't get transferred and other photos did, or?
No, I think everything got transferred over.
Okay. But you say you lost the JPEGs. What does that mean? What are you looking for that you're not finding?
The file called JPEG?
Oh, the file. All right. So you moved them to a folder, and you see files, right?
And okay,
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm asking. So they're there, but why do you say you lost the JPEGs if they're there and you can open them and?
Well, as I understood, I was supposed to be able to see the JPEG part of it.
Oh, you mean in the file listing, you don't see the letters JPG or JPEG. You don't see those.
Right.
Oh, okay. So, well, yes, that is kind of sneaky with Windows 10. They do not show what's called the extension, what used to be three letters and now more. After that, by default, you have to go and set that in file options. They've moved it around a couple times. But up at the top, if you get that Explorer thing, the thing that looks like a little manila folder, the little yellowish file folder thingy.
Yeah.
If you get that and open it up, at the top there's like File, Home, Share, and View. And if you do View, and then you get to do Options, then you get and then that little box comes up. The second tab is View. And one of the options in that big old list is hide extensions for known file types.
So
if that's checked and there's something that is opening JPEGs, which is usually the photo app, it's not going to show. But if you clear it, then it'll show all the names. It'll work just fine either way. It doesn't really matter in the operation. As you notice, you can open up the photos and they're perfectly fine files. You can upload them to Facebook without worry or whatever, but it's just a different way of displaying files that Windows 10 decided would be good for everyone to have.
Oh, okay. But it kind of surprised me because it looked totally different than others.
Yeah, and you think what's wrong with these files? What has Microsoft done with my files? They no longer have a name on them. Yeah. No, they're still plain old JPEG files, just the same as all. They're just hiding a little bit of their name there with Windows 10 options. All right.
Okay.
Well, thanks for being alert. That's good to notice things that change. That's good to be alert. That's a good thing.
Okay. Well, thanks for your technical help.
All right. Thanks for calling Battleborn Tech.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, way back when extensions were whatever you wanted them to be, it wasn't really a matter about what they were. But now, because so much is hung on them about which programs open which and which extensions belong to which process, you got to watch out for those that take over them. And Windows makes it even more complicated by hiding them. Right when you need to know if they're assigned to something. If they're assigned to something, Windows will go ahead and hide them by default. So by turning that on, you can see what Windows is up to, or you can just trust that they're there if it works and not worry about it. But congrats to our caller for noticing that they disappeared when they went to a new version of Windows that hide the ones that Windows already knows about. So those extensions can be important. Another thing to watch out for is that when they hide the extensions, sometimes people who make poor choices decide to hide something like an .exe file or a .zip file or something other that could get into mischief by naming it something benign like .doc or .docx before the actual extension. Remember, it's only the last extension that counts, and if Windows is hiding it, you might be tricked to think you know what you're opening when in reality you do not. So watch the icon, watch what opens, and probably you Windows user, you probably want to go to File Explorer and turn on those see all extensions so you know what you're getting into before you click.
I know it's the first thing I do anytime I get a new operating system is go in and make sure I can see everything I want to see. You got a word of the day for us?
Yeah, we got a couple of abbreviations that might be helpful to folks out there. In fact, you might even want to use them in your social media or your back and forth. LTTP, LTTP is an abbreviation for late to the party. Now, some of you might remember Last Train to Paris, but it's not. It means that, oops, something's come up in Twitter and people are talking about it, or something is going back and forth on my email topics and I'm late to the party. And could someone catch me up of why this thing is trending or why people are talking about that? That's LTTP. If you see that, somebody's trying to catch up. Maybe they took a well-deserved break from social media over a weekend or a couple days.
That pretty much describes my life.
you got a badge that you're wearing, a hat, LTTP, just to get it out of the way. People know to catch you up on whatever's going on.
All right, we've got another phone call here. Hello, Rachel. We're glad you're still with us. Rachel is a wealth of tech problems, it seems. She's working on resetting her tablet. And if you've ever had to do a hard reset of an iPhone or a tablet, yeah, it's a bit of a heartache, isn't it? Well, let's see what we do for her.
Go ahead, caller.
Hello, my name is Rachel.
Oh, Rachel, I'm beginning to recognize your voice. So that's great. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, you helped me out so much. I keep coming back.
That's what we like. Keep coming back. That's good. What's up this week?
Customer. Well, this week I've got an LG tablet, and I do not need it anymore. And I wanted to see if I could just sell it, but it's got my email on there, and it's got it downloaded some Gmail on there. So I don't know how to kind of get rid of that before I give this up.
Okay, an LG tablet is an Android device. There's at least three major tablet families, if you will, Android, Apple, and Windows, strangely enough, with Surface. Now, Windows tablets reset the same as Windows. You get into, you shift, you hit restart when shifting while holding down the shift key, and then get into the reset special screens, but we'll skip over that. And then the Apple is actually similar to what we're going to get to with you, and that's settings, general reset, and erase all contact and settings. That would do it for the iPad. Now, if you have an iPad, I know you don't, but if you're going to give it away, important is to get into your Apple ID and release your iPad from Find My iPad. If you're giving away, selling, donating an iPad, make sure you let go of it on the security, or they will not be able to use it because it's still locked your Apple ID even after you factory reset it. So that's been a change last few years that tripped up quite a few people. So, and if you're buying a used iPad, make sure it's not locked down with Find My iPad. That's an important thing to watch for on the iPad used and hand-me-down market. Now, what can help you? The best way to go, I think, would be to factory reset the computer. That will erase not only your data, but it'll also erase all the passwords you may have saved and emails and your logins and all that good stuff.
Your contacts?
Yeah, everything will be gone. It'll be factory reset. In fact, now your programs will be gone too. If you got little apps that you downloaded and stuff, those will all be still with your Google account if you downloaded them that way, which you probably should have. It will not go with the new tablet. It'll just have what came out of the box, not what you downloaded. So I don't know if you were counting on that. But if you don't have someone in mind, you didn't want to pass that around. It's under settings. They actually have a setting for this. So it's under settings, reset, options. Faster.
Settings, reset. Hold on. I'm getting my money's worth here.
We're going to you got to pause on the radio. Where's that? I got to get that done.
Yeah. I'm on settings now.
You're doing it right now. Okay. Well, that's all right.
You know, the people want to know if this works.
Okay. All right. I like to be like the people in the movies, you know, that just set up the explosion and then they walk away and not look back. That's what I like to be. You know, not even looking back, just knowing that it blew up, you know? That's what
I mean, you can edit this all you want, you know. Whatever
works for you. We never do that on Battleborn Tech. Every call's legit. What are you talking about? Hey, where are you? You got it up and booted and running now?
Yeah.
Do you have it connected to the internet? Do you have it connected to the internet?
What? No. Do I need that?
No, you don't.
Oh.
It don't matter. But just in case someone worried, I thought I'd throw that in. Hey, So you got the settings, little gear cog kind of thing, circle with the little teeth.
Yes.
You got that. System. You got the system.
I'm just on settings. I don't know what this system is you speak of.
What is this system you speak of? All right. So, settings. And you're scrolling, right? There's a lot on there.
Yes. I am scrolling.
Okay. All right.
Got something.
Well, you know, some different phones, they call it different things. So maybe we'll have to figure out what they did call it on your particular phone.
System you can't click on, but there's things under system. Click button, shortcut keys, date time, accessibility, about tablet.
Okay, so on mine, they got it sort of hidden. Are you under about phone on mine?
About.
You got an about?
I think so. I got something that says backup and reset.
Okay, so backup and reset, that'll do it. It's going to be a little bit different.
Factory data reset.
There you go. You're jumping through. And you reset, and you want, and they're going to ask you about erasing everything, which in this case you do want to do. So make sure you say a big yes to that and let that go. Want to make sure it's charged up. It's not at the last few percent of charge or it's plugged in. Anytime you do something like an update on the machine or erasing it, it takes a little while. You want to make sure it doesn't run out of power in the middle. So you got some power on there?
Yeah.
Okay. Some processors will check, and if you don't have a high battery, they won't do it until you plug it in. So that's something to consider.
All right. Okay. It's doing a thing. It says it told me it's going to restart twice, and it may take longer than usual.
There you go. So that's really nice that you're passing those. We're all for passing on tech instead of throwing it away. So that's great. Thanks for being on that value of Battleborn Tech of refurbishing, recycling, and reusing. So super duper.
Yeah, it's going to be the third life. I got this refurbished.
Well, good. Even better.
We'll
points,
see if I get
points
10
on
bucks
points.
For this.
Yeah. We should, within the, like 20 years from now, to be on Antiques Roadshow. What's the story behind this tablet? Who are the previous owners? I can see it now, and you will be part of that story along with Battle.
Ooh, I should put some writing in there so they have Providence for later.
Oh, that's right. A Providence. Yes, you definitely want that. That's going to be so important in the future. You know?
I'll put you as a footnote.
Okay. All right, Rachel. Well, thanks for calling as we, live your whole tech life from beginning to end with your devices. So that's great. So.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks. Goodbye.
Yeah, that's a great thing to do to pass along technology, as I told Rachel, and I can't emphasize enough that for your Apple people out there, your whatever OS you got, if you're passing along those old Apple products, make sure that you not only reset the device, which is good to do and necessary, but also you get on the web and your Apple ID and get that device off from your Apple ID account. That way it won't come back to you some crazy way, and also the person who gets it next can be able to fully use it. Another thing about Apple products is that you're only allowed to get 3 Apple IDs on a device. So if you're buying something refurbished or secondhand, you want to make sure that you're able to put another Apple ID on it before you go ahead and reset. Or you may be in for a trip to Apple support and see what they can help you do to get yet another Apple ID on a device. Apple's not big on refurbishing. They like you to buy the new stuff, I think.
Yep. If you ever want to have a tech overload, go visit the local Apple store and then dig out your iPhone 5 and feel very, very ashamed. And they all kind of look at you with that condescending, oh, you're using a 5, how quaint.
And that is a way to get socially distanced even before the pandemic, is to bring in an iPhone, an old tech, to an Apple show. Yeah, people give you 6 feet all around. In fact, that may be something you want to do if you're not vaccinated yet. Just carry around some old tech and people will stay away from you.
Yeah, with one of those old Motorola brick phones. Well, those of you still holding on to your Nokia phones, man, those things are indestructible.
Browsers are becoming more and more like operating systems. You might be looking at Task Manager to see what's going on in your operating system, but you can also, if you have a Chrome compatible browser, which is most of them, Shift Escape can show you every running Chrome related process, and it can be quite eye opening, all the stuff that's running in your browser. For example, I found out that Gmail takes quite a bit of my memory just sitting there in a tab. So could shift escape to find out what's going on behind the scenes in your browser. No, you got to be in the browser and shift escape. And it worked for me in Chrome and Brave. Yeah, Edge will catch up sooner or later because they are Chromium based.
All righty, we got another call here. This is from Joan, and Joan is wondering about monitor resolution. It's easier now, but there's still issues. I mean, I remember when I got my first VGA monitor. Good times, good times.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Christy, it's Joan Jeffers
again. Hey, hi, Joan. Welcome to Battleborn Tech. What's up?
Thank you. Well, the last time I called, you assisted me in getting my two monitors to work together so that okay. I would have the two monitors to look at. And so that worked perfectly.
That's what we like to hear. Okay, go, continue on. Well,
and then one day I looked at my one screen and I thought, why does that look all stretched? You know how if you take a picture and you try to enlarge it
okay.
and you don't
okay, yeah,
right.
yeah.
So that's what that second screen looks like.
Okay.
And I can't figure out what happened because when it works properly, it just looks like two normal screens. So what do you think I did? I'm sure.
So
sometimes
it looks like that and sometimes it doesn't?
Well, it never looks like that. And then for the past, say, week or so, that's what it looks like.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, there's a couple things. One
okay.
is the tried and true turn it off and turn it back on. Sometimes they get a little confused.
Okay.
So the hardware stuff is turn it off, turn it back on. The other one is to push, make sure all your cables are good. That's always good.
Okay.
But it could also be, you know, I remember you're a Windows person.
Yes.
It could also be a display setting. Sometimes either a person or a program can change the monitor settings. Have you checked those at all?
Let me interject that around the same time, it didn't even occur to me until you said that, I decided that I was too old to be looking at that tiny print.
Okay.
So I went to my display, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so perhaps what I did was also do something to affect the extended monitor.
You can do a scale. The easiest way for me is to right click on an empty spot on the desktop and then choose
okay.
Settings. And then that'll give you, actually it's called display settings now that I look at it. And that can give you scale and layout, which is one way to go. And a
okay.
lot of people go with scale and layout when they're, you know, want a more comfortable viewing experience. Let's just say that.
Yeah.
I'm
old.
Not that you're old. No. But we may want to take a look at, we may want to leave it at 100% because of some of the issues that programs have with scale and layout if it's not what they're expecting. And you may actually want to take down the resolution and see if that works for you. Instead of having it cranked up all the way to the highest resolution, maybe
right.
dump it down a little bit, one or two
okay.
down. Like right now, I'm looking at mine. It's 1920 by 1080, and I might want to go down to 1600 by 900. And,
okay. And I'm not in my office right now.
Okay.
I should have been in there when I called. But
One of the things I would recommend with a dual monitor display is to match your displays, because I don't know if it bothers you, but it sure bothers me when I move that mouse across the border and it jumps or crazy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would recommend having them both the size. And, you know,
okay.
they do sell larger and larger monitors.
Well, and I thought about, I have one that is a nice size, but my other one, you know, seems so tiny compared to the.
Sure.
So I did think about that I probably need to.
Yeah,
and I figure you could help me with that.
Well, yeah, I would help you recommend with that. There are places where you can get even dual monitor setups that are already set up as a dual monitor. They have one
wow.
stand with two screens.
Wow.
You can get those. And a lot of people like that.
Well, are they pricey?
Well, it depends how big you get them. Yeah. I mean, you can go for four screens on one stand. That gets a little pricey. You would expect to pay for refurbished things. You can get a monitor for $100 up and down, depending what size you get.
Okay.
And you can also get, you should expect to pay for at least $100 for the stand, just in addition to whatever the monitors cost. But if you buy them all together, sometimes you can get a little deal when they're all put together. And it's a little easier to manage and deal with than always trying to shove them together and start walking across the desk or something like that. But check those display settings and get the scaling back to 100, and then sneak down the resolution a bit and see if that does all good for you. And then if that doesn't work, you can always buy bigger ones.
There you go. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks for calling in. And what did you say, the last one that was perfect? I think I'm trying to remember.
Yes, it was absolutely perfect. And so
that's what. Call anytime, Joan, with those kind of reviews.
Okay.
All right.
You.
Thanks a lot for calling Battleborne Tech.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
The dance between resolution and expanding the text and all the other things is one that you're going to have to find your own balance on. But take a look at resolution before you start changing the percentage of text and icons on your desktop. You'll get into less trouble that way with if you're going to do a system-wide thing. Now, if you just want to get one web page bigger, sure, you can go in and change the view settings to a percentage higher. But if it's a chronic thing with you, take a thought of resolution. Of course, if you have some money, getting a bigger monitor, they keep getting cheaper. You may want to take a look at that. And if you do get dual monitors, I really recommend buying the exact same model and size of the same monitor, because you'll thank yourself so much later as you're trying to deal with it, not only keeping the settings straight, but also as you move windows from one to another and bump up against an edge and you have to move the window because it doesn't quite fix when it moves to the other side, or it jumps around in resolution and it's very disconcerting to do that. I've tried it once and I quickly stopped doing it, so you can too. Hey, Joe, sounds like, are we about at the end of our show today, it looks like?
We are creeping towards the inevitable demise of our half hour, yes.
Well, we got a lot of calls, and that's good. So call in, because this show is just a lot of dead air without calls. Liven up the radio waves by calling us at 775-241-3571. And now that's any time. Leave your name, tech challenge, and a good time to call you back from 775-241-3571. This has been Battleborne Tech. Battleborne Tech broadcasts from KNVC FM 95.1 every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Pacific and live streams on KNVC.org. This is Christy, your tech wrangler of Windows and explorer of Apple ways, with Joe, our engineer and editor. Breakmaster Cylinder is responsible for our theme music. Our website is battleborne.tech, and where you can find links and show notes along with archived copies of the show. Call 775-241-3571 anytime, and we'll fight your tech battles on air so your struggles can help others in the tech trenches. We also take questions and answers at questions@battleborne.tech. That's battleborne.tech.